For 4 days, every March, a small town in Gloucestershire becomes something of a second home for Irish racing fans. The Cheltenham Festival now feels almost like an Irish sporting holiday. Then there's something you might call the Cheltenham Effect. That's Irish employers who estimate that this particular week of racing costs them millions of euro in productivity losses. So what makes Cheltenham so special for Irish owners, trainers and punters alike?
Carbo as they get to the second last. Romeo Coolio almost joined there by Kopec Debord on the outside. William Money trying to stay in the picture in third. Karnake is in fourth, but at a glance there from Paul Townend, and Kopec Debord has taken up the running there. By Knight on the outside. Marlsborough made a shocking mistake at the second last. Has that torn it? It is Loju Sun now, with Only By Knight challenging. A huge leap Loju Sun at the last. Only By Knight, though, the mare is running a blinder. And she's got
Will Do is behind this and challenging for second position. Transmission coming from the back of the field. So Resplendent Grey, nothing.
It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. Now, for years, the Irish have been truly dominant at Cheltenham. Last year, the Irish inflicted a 28 defeat on their British counterparts, continuing a 6-year streak of dominance. It's become a real cultural moment, I think, for fans of Irish racing. And despite the massive spike in the cost of, let's face it, absolutely everything in recent times, it doesn't seem to deter the thousands of people who take annual leave and jet off to the Cotswolds each and every year. So what is it about Cheltenham that captures people here in Ireland? And why has this small country become such a powerhouse in national hunt racing? Well, to discuss all of this, I'm joined by fellow News Talk podcasters and broadcasters, Megan Scully and Off the Balls, John Duggan. You're both very welcome to News Talk Daily.
Carmila Mogg, it's nice to be here with you.
Hello, Ciara. Hello, Megan.
Hiya, John. I believe you've settled in. Have you?
I've settled in. I'm in the press tent here at Cheltenham. I was working out, there's 112 horses running on Tuesday. And yes, it's going to be the greatest show on turf, the National Hunt Olympics. We really anticipate it every year and I can't wait for it to start.
I was there a number of years ago and I will never forget, I have to say, that moment in the stands. And there's hundreds and thousands of people all around you where the first race begins and you get that very famous moment known as the Cheltenham Roar.
They're off. Cheltenham 2025.
You do, and it's called the Supreme Novices Hurdle, and just before 1:20, there's going to be that almost hushed anticipation, and then when the tapes go up, there is an almighty roar. And the one thing about Cheltenham, Ciara and Megan, is it's just unlike any other race course. First of all, the infrastructure is massive. Like, you've got a massive grandstand here, and the way Cheltenham is geographically, I suppose, carved up is that there's Cleve Hill to the left and it's just like this big bowl. It's like almost like a stadium. It's an amphitheatre. And the way the course is constructed, you see the horses go off into the distance and then you see them come down the hill and then they meet the stands and then they go up the hill again to the finish. And just the way it's constructed is really like a stadium feel. And then you have, 66,000 people here a day if it's sold out, and it will be sold out definitely for Gold Cup Day on Friday. So when you think about other race meetings, you might go to Leopardstown at Christmas, might be about 15 to 20,000 people there. Punchestown might get 20 to 30,000. I know they had 40,000 on the Friday last year. But generally, this is like going to Old Trafford or Anfield or Twickenham or the Aviva Stadium. You know, you're talking 66,000 people at a race meeting. So therefore, you have the massive feeling of you're at a big stadium event. And then you have the whole intrigue of the stories, that because for 6 months, 12 months, everybody has their dreams. The owners, the trainers, the jockeys, the stable staff, all of their dreams of having a Cheltenham winner. And the roots of that are back in the 1940s, and Vincent O'Brien came over for the first time to Cheltenham and trained the Gold Cup winner three times and the Champion Hurdle winner three times. Then you had Arkle in the 1960s, Dawn Run in the 1980s, the mare who won the Champion Hurdle and the Gold Cup. And then you had horses like Denoli and Istabrak and Hardy Eustace, all these horses, great horses in recent times, Galop and Deschamps, that Irish people have felt, you know what, we're good at this. And it's something that we can be very proud about. We've gone over to enemy territory and we've won. And as you said there at the very outset, Ciara, in recent years, we've done very well.
as you say, right, there's 66,000 people in the grandstand there, right, which just creates this huge energy, this incredible atmosphere. But behind the scenes, John, is this phenomenal operation too. Can you bring me through that?
Well, I mean, I was just going through some of the amazing things that are, like, when you think about it, it's probably going to be over 250,000 pints you're going to serve this week, Ciara. I was going through some of the stats here. 44,000 afternoon tea served, 5 tons of cheese eaten, 12 furlongs of sausage rolls produced. So like a furlong is 220 yards. You have 199 different menus designed in-house. You have 8,000 gallons of tea and coffee drunk, 400 chefs per day, 9 tons of potatoes eaten. So there are like loads of bars. There's 130 private boxes. It is a massive event. And like for horse racing in Britain, this is their big thing. This is the big, I suppose in Ireland, maybe spread around Punchestown and Leopardstown and Fairy House and the Curra. This is the big thing. I mean, if you go to the London at Christmas time, you'll see on the tube Cheltenham advertised. And it is really the big draw. It's when, I suppose, horse racing, which is a minority sport, gets onto the front pages and the back pages. It's the week in the limelight, and that's why it's such a big deal here. So it is a well-run operation. Now, people, some might argue that it's got too expensive here. They have reduced the price of a pint to £7.50 here. And then you also have the kind of the strange phenomenon now. I know my cousin, for example, Ciara and Megan, has gone off to Lanzarote. There's almost like a Cheltenham on tour kind of vibe that's developed in Ireland in recent years, where people will go maybe to the south of Spain or whatever and watch Cheltenham there, because you can now with technology.
I think I'm going to out my husband at this point. I think he took a day off work, a day's annual leave last year, to go to a really small pub in Kildare with a couple of friends. It's in the heartland of horse racing country, and they watched it there for the day, and they were surrounded by other people who had done exactly the same thing, Megan.
Yeah, well, I've even noticed quite a lot of posters around bars all over the country saying Cheltenham, 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 and they're doing Cheltenham parties now, because as John mentioned, it is a very expensive few days over there. So a lot of people are deciding to stay at home, or as he said, go to the likes of Lanzarote, or I think the UK take over as a Benidorm, and they create their own kind of Cheltenham parties. But as John was saying there, and as you mentioned, the Cheltenham roar, it's the feeling, it's the atmosphere, it's the sensation, it's the being there, it's the noise, it's the fashion, it's the incredible horses. To witness them in real life with your own two eyes is something that's why I love going back, even as just a racing fan or if I'm working. I love being there for that, because there was almost a kind of question mark over this year, would I go, wouldn't I go? And I just thought, if I'm sitting at home or sitting in the local watching it on the television screen, I know I'll be saying to myself, why didn't you go? So therefore I have decided I am going.
In previous years, it has fallen on the week of St. Patrick's. And in those days, from what I can recall from my couple of days there, there really is a complete Irish takeover. You know, people are walking around in their leprechaun hats and their green suits. Why do you think Irish people have connected with this so strongly, Megan?
Because I think we love beating the English. And we have the most incredible horses. I mean, and the trainers and the jockeys and the owners, but the animals themselves, the athleticism and the power. And I feel like as well, because of our land in Ireland, we've got obviously quite rugged land. We have obviously very hard winters. Our horses are extremely hardy and they're tough out, and they have just got this energy to them and this drive to win. They're like the humans. And I think when we go to the UK, we know what we've got and we know what's at stake. And I think we just really, the horses, like the likes of Willie Mullins, Henry de Bromhead, Gordon Elliott, they prime the horses for Cheltenham week. It's like training for any like elite sport. This is the week where they want them to really be at their best, and they work all year round to get them to that point. And then I think as well, the camaraderie with the English race goers, and of course all the owners and trainers and jockeys. You've even seen it on television on that series Full Gallop, Champions Full Gallop. It was incredible, and just to see the competitiveness, and they just want to win. And it's so much fun over there. It's where we all have so much camaraderie together, and we all just have great crack together, the English versus the Irish. And we just produce the most amazing horses.
Megan, we have been talking all week here on News Talk about the price of everything increasing because of the recent war in the Middle East. We are once again in the middle of a cost of living squeeze, but Irish punters are expected to splash more than €20 million at Cheltenham this week. So people will still party, they will still gamble, they will still pay the entrance fees, they will still pay pretty exorbitant prices, I have to say, for accommodation over there, because it's such a small area, it's quite contained, so you end up paying quite a lot of money to go there. do the rules of regular life just not apply that week?
Oh, it's yeah. Look, it is a really expensive week, and I know that it's. I suppose in some senses privileged to be able to go to Cheltenham. I do save up money to go to Cheltenham. I'm not a big better myself, so my money has been spent on my accommodation. My flights actually were rather reasonable, and eating and socialising. So that's kind of where my money will go in the week. But it can, there's no way, I suppose, of doing Cheltenham on the cheap. It's just not possible. The entry you mentioned, I think it's over £100 to get in each day. And it is a very, very expensive treat, I suppose, in some senses. So I don't take it too lightly that I can go to Cheltenham when I can, because, as I mentioned, it is like going on it is the same as week-long holiday. I understand why people go to the likes of the Lanzarote's and the different places. For me, it's just the experience and how much I just adore horses. I adore horse racing. It's in my blood. It's in my DNA. And I hope I can stay going for as long as I can. And as I mentioned, I do put money aside and I save up for it because I want to be able to enjoy it. But yeah, it is. It's pretty expensive.
Yeah, I went to the Leopardstown Horse Racing Festival in January this year, which was also sold out. And it was incredible to see the number of English people who had flown over to that festival because they found the cost of Cheltenham just beyond all comprehension, beyond their reach. And actually now they're finding the Irish festival here, where you see a lot of the top horses that you're going to see at Cheltenham. It's one of their final runs out, I suppose. They're coming here instead.
Yeah, and I don't, it's great to see them coming over, because I feel like we do take over Cheltenham. When I lived in London, I actually worked with a girl who was from Cheltenham, and she said to me, she's like, "You're just Irish, you just come and take over." She was like, a lot of us, if we don't like horse racing, we all get out of Cheltenham, but they rent out their houses to the likes of us coming over. But yeah, they've started to come over, and I think it's lovely, and I actually enjoy and welcome them, because it's nice for them to experience racing over here. To be fair, they love coming to Ireland racing. They love everything about it. They love the atmosphere. And as you mentioned, the top horses are here, and it's also giving them flavour for what's to come at Cheltenham. So they like to be able to see them in real life in Dublin and then kind of have a little bit of a look and see who's kind of maybe peaking too soon, who's kind of needs a bit more work, who's going to peak at Cheltenham. So it is quite, in some senses, there's a lot to horse racing. And I suppose a lot of people like to think that they know, they are the experts and they know best, but it always provides, I think, to the atmosphere and to the crack that we have when it comes to horse racing.
Speaking of the industry, John, Horse Racing Ireland, they claim that it provides 2.46 billion euro for the Irish economy. And the government of Ireland, they invest, I think, 70 million euro a year into that. You could argue it's a good return.
You could, but if you said you're going to invest 70 million or maybe 80 million into any industry related to sport, and if it's managed well, then it'll have a good return. So you could say the same about soccer, about rugby, about Gaelic games, of which there is investment. So look, I think racing is fortunate. It's fortunate that it is seen as an industry under the auspices of the Department of Agriculture, not even the Department of Sport. Greyhound racing the same, whereby every year it's ring-fenced that they do get money, which is very important for supporting rural jobs and supporting prize money. And racing is something we can be proud of the world over. Look at the success Aidan O'Brien has had internationally. Joseph O'Brien's son has trained the winner of a Melbourne Cup. William Mullins last year, for example, not only did he have 10 Cheltenham winners, but he sent out the winner of the Aintree Grand National with his son Patrick on board, Nick Crockett. And then he went to the Breeders' Cup in California, and Ethical Diamond, who's owned by the Heffernan family of Dunstorne's fame, won a race at the Breeders' Cup in the flat. So it's something we can be very proud of, but it does receive support from the state that other sports, I'm sure, would bite your hand off to get as well. So Irish racing has generally found itself with friends in the corridors of power in Leinster House, and it's seen, and I know this from speaking to people here, it's seen in a favourable light. But then again, I was at NACE last Wednesday, and I would call it an industry day. And it is seen as an industry in many ways outside of the big festivals. Maybe about 1,000 people there. It was something about it was, it was just great to just see these, maybe the smaller owners, the smaller trainers, and I suppose the feel and the smell of a race course and the vibe and the kind of a really nice way to spend a day, to be honest. To go to your local racetrack around the country. And I was saying this as well yesterday. I think this is important to say. Think about all the counties that are represented. Some of them would never win an All-Ireland hurling or football title, but they're winning All-Irelands in different spheres. So William Mullins trains down in Carlow. where Carlo are not going to win the All-Ireland without the greatest respect to them anytime soon in either code. So Carlo is an All-Ireland champion. Jack Kennedy, the jockeys from Dingle and Kerry. Paul Tennant, the Irish jockey for Willie Mullins, is from Cork. Waterford is represented by Henry de Bramhead. Meath by Gordon Elliott. You have trainers and jockeys from the north of Ireland as well. So it's generally a sport that's represented quite across the board in terms of the counties in our country. So it's an inclusivity to it. And I think there's just various ways you can approach Cheltenham in terms of how you look at it. And whether you're a punter, somebody who just loves watching the horses train and just loves the actual physicality of just seeing a horse jump and the artistic beauty of it. There's definitely different ways you can consume Cheltenham. And for everybody right now, all the dreams are there. There's no hopes dashed. There's no broken dreams. There's a situation now where everybody's got their dreams they can carry. And you know, some of them will not obviously work out. There'll be more losers than winners. But there'll be definitely some storylines this week that we will not expect, because the great thing about racing is it does conjure surprises.
Yeah, one of the things I do think we have to point out is that this festival takes place on a really demanding jump racing track. There are falls, there are injuries, there is occasional horse fatalities occurring, and it is also one of the largest betting events in the entire world, and some say it promotes gambling and makes it all sound like it's just one big fun celebration. Do you have any questions about whether or not it's ethically justifiable to continue promoting and celebrating the festival, John?
It's much safer. I mean, the fences here first of all, anybody who works with horses, you know, you can see the dedication and the love that every horse receives from the people who train and the people who are involved with the disabled staff. So horses get treated extremely well. That's the first thing I'll say. And nobody wants to see any horse injured on the racetrack, especially the people that are involved in looking after the horses every day. So that's from a safety point of view, Cheltenham is far safe. Like, first of all, the ground, for example, they've been watering the ground today. They've been watering it for the last few days, even though we've had a very, very, very wet winter. So they're going to try and make the conditions as safe as possible. Obviously, when you're looking at a sport that has hurdles and fences is going to be risk, but they're doing everything they can here to minimize the risk, as they should, because you can't have any kind of gaps in that situation. In terms of the gambling, look, from the knowledge I have, the bookmaking firms now are you know, quite compliant when it comes to, you know, being on the right side of what they should be when it comes to, you know, identifying problem gamblers or being very socially conscious and aware of that department of the industry. But for a lot of people as well, it could be once a year that they want to have a bet. And not everybody who follows Cheltenham wants to have a bet or is interested in the bet. And some people are just interested in the competition of the races. People are interested in the storylines. Like, betting is, once again, it is part of Irish culture. And obviously everybody should gamble responsibly. We could say the same thing about alcohol. We could say the same thing about anything, really, that, you know, there's always going to be issues and challenges around parts of our culture, and it's just a case of, you know, repeating the message to everybody that you need to gamble responsibly. You don't have to have a bet in every race. The bookmaker has to take a bet in every race, but you don't have to have a bet in every race. Nobody wants to promote problem gambling or encourage it, and I definitely think there's definitely some parts of the bookmaking industry and the betting industry that would be questionable. Online gaming is definitely one. Slot machines, these kind of things, I don't think they should be allowed, to be honest. But if you're going to have a bet on a horse at Cheltenham, I think for the vast majority of people, they do it for a bit of fun and a bit of interest. And I think that's something that should remain part of what it is. If it wasn't here, to be honest, here, it would be less fun.
Not his best effort, but he gets away with it. Whisper trying to close, and Mike White is beginning to paddle. He's drifting off the true line. He hangs fire, and Whisper's coming home. Straight as a gun barrel. Dicko de Boinville tries to straighten out Mike White, who rallies on the near side.
For you, Megan, you're one of those people, aren't you, that goes over for this couple of days, as you say, saves for it, will take a couple of punts. I presume you don't bet on every single race. You won't put the house in it. You won't go away having lost your shirt, will you?
No, absolutely not. I'm a very, I suppose, I don't know if you can say safe better, but I'll only actually bet on the Irish horses that I know. And I will only bet on the ones that I, you know, and it'll only be like what I call a baby bet. I'll only ever do each way. And I know people often, the real bettors will tell me you have to go on the nose, but I just, it's more so I do it as part of like the participation of when I'm at Cheltenham or if I'm at a racetrack in Ireland. It's never because I'm trying to win money. So I don't look at it that way. So therefore, I don't put on big money. And if I win, usually I just about make my money back. So for me, it's like I do an awful lot of, I often say, betting in my head. So I could come back next week and I'll tell you all, I had like six winners in Cheltenham, but it'll be all in my head. So I won't have actually have won the actual money, but in my head I have. So I think that's like the part of it for me. As I said, I go socially. I love horses. I grew up around them. They are my bread and butter. And I am fascinated by them. And I know we talked there about the health and safety. But as John mentioned, they are making it as safe as they can. The horses as well now, you do not send a horse to Cheltenham unless it's at the top of its game. We saw Galopin Deschamps got pulled during the week, which was really sad to hear, but it's the horse's welfare was the first thing. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank and how many horses you own and how many horses you can send to Cheltenham. It is at the end of the day the horse's health, and that is what is, you know, the most important thing for anyone that's involved in the game. And if they're not looking, if that's not their number one priority, the horse's welfare, then perhaps they shouldn't be involved in horse racing. It is a very exciting week, and look, we just wish that everyone gets home safe.
Towards the top of the hill, halfway, fifth line of hurdles, and Constitution Hill is down. The favourite number two, Constitution Hill, has fallen. And it leaves a King of Kingsfield in front.
So who are your picks for the week then? If I am going to put down my €2 each way.
Oh, well, I was watching her on social media. I'm sure John saw her in real life at Lossie Mouth, the grey mare. I just think she's fabulous looking. I love the look of her. I love the temperament. She was out there this morning on the track and she was as giddy. She was full of beans. And I actually read the book. It was one about Nicky Henderson. I read it before Cheltenham a few years ago. And it's quite a lot of different people speaking about horses. And there was like a scientist or an equine scientist on, and they said horses don't necessarily know that they've won, but they know the roar and they associate the roar with winning races. So you could just see all the Irish contingency when they hit that hollow ground of Cheltenham. They're all just ears forward, happy looking horses, healthy looking horses. So I would love to see Lossie do it. I think it will absolutely, the place will go bananas. But she's obviously got the new lion, Brighter Days Ahead, and last year's winner, Golden Ace. So it's going to be a bit of a tough one. But I would love to see Lossie crossing that finish line first.
Okay, and across the 4 days, what's the big one for you, the big race?
Well, do you know what I actually love watching is the cross country chase. Cross country is something I would have done myself growing up and competed in, and I love it. I just think it's such like so exciting. And my very first Cheltenham, they used to let the punters into the middle of the cross country track. So they'd open up the track, let us all in, and we'd stand there and watch it, and the horses would be going around us, and I loved it. It was really exciting. One year I happened to get chatting to people on the course that were looking after the track, and I got locked into the middle of Cheltenham, and then we'd wait for the next race to pass. My friend and I were toddling out in our heels. So for the cross country chase, I'm looking to get at Stumptown. Stumptown is just such a class big horse. He's really like fab. He's built for cross country, so I certainly be looking at him as well. I'll be over there myself on Wednesday, and that's when that is taking place. And then on Thursday in the Stayers Hurdle, I have to go with the horse that I love. I'm obsessed with Hewick. He is loved and adored by so many. He's just the most magical horse, and I'd love to see Hewick do it. But of course, Tipu is in that race as well, and Tipu is the hot favourite. Again, I'll always stick to the Irish horses. There's some huge favourites there, and just the joy to watch them in Cheltenham is going to be incredible.
John, for you, what's the race that you look forward to the most?
It's the Gold Cup on Friday, Ciara and Megan, because it's the biggest race in the calendar. It's the big one, yeah, and 4 o'clock on Friday, and it's really open this year. You have Galopin Deschamps, sadly non-runner. So the Gaelic Warrior is the only Willie Mullins trained horse for Rich Ritchie. Rich Ritchie's never won the Gold Cup, and he's won it here at the festival before over a shorter distance. You got Harry Redknapp owns a horse called the Jukebox Man. That'd be a great story if Harry Redknapp's horse won. I mentioned Jimmy Mangan and Spillane's Tower already. I know the way you're thinking, won the race last year, but has been in awful form this season. He'll have to recapture his sparkle. You got a horse called Django Bay in there for Nicky Henderson. It's wide open, and I love the fact that it is wide open. I mean, you could make a case for 7 or 8 of them. And my tip for the week, really, folks, and this is kind of back to the question you asked about gambling, and I do enjoy a punt myself personally, and I've been somebody who's been given Cheltenham tips for nearly a quarter of a century. So if you are going to have an interest this week, I think the thing you should do is stick to a budget for the 4 days. Yeah. So whether it's like £20 a day for 4 days or £100 for the week, and don't go over your budget, because then, and you know, you don't want to be.
Don't chase your losses. Don't chase your losses. Exactly. Isn't that what they say?
Just stick to your budget and have a bit of fun with it. And whether that's multiples or whatever you want to do, and just stick to your budget. And then you will say, you know what? I was happy to lose it, like just as much as you might be happy to spend money on pints and smokes every week, right? Because we all have a way of spending our social spare money. And that's the way I think to approach it. That's the biggest tip. Don't lose your shirt and never gamble more than you can afford. There's a racing pod club we've set up at offtheball.com/racingpodclub. Where you can get our tips every day and exclusive content and a chance to win tickets to the future festivals. So the majority of our tips, Kieran and Megan, will be on the Racing Pod Club. If you just sign up for free, I can direct you towards that for each day's tips. The one horse maybe to have a look at is in the bumper on Wednesday, the last race. I watched this horse win at Leopardstown at Christmas, and I thought he was a very, I suppose, dour, tough animal. The name is Keep Him Company. And it's going to be ridden by Jack Kennedy for Gordon Elliott. About an 8-1 shot each way. Keep Him Company in the last race on Wednesday. Keep an eye on that one.
Fantastic. Oh, folks, I'm feeling the pressure. I have a lot of work to do between now and 1:20 today.
Oh, I'm telling you, I'm very excited. And hopefully, JD, I'll see you in real life over there. I'll get the tips off you in person.
Thanks, Megan. Thanks, Kira.
Thanks a million, John. John and the gang at Off the Ball will keep you updated on all the latest news from Cheltenham right throughout the week. And be sure to check out Megan's podcast, 28 Ways to Save the World. You'll find it on the Goal Out Player or wherever you stream your content. That's it from Tuesday's News Talk Daily. I'll be back with another edition bright and early tomorrow morning. Until then, don't forget about the Cheltenham Roar. Goodbye.